Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Excuse the noise in the background. There's a little bit of microwave action going on. Neil forgot to heat his coffee. Okay, so we do have a caller in the queue, so we're going to be getting to that caller in just a moment. But first, we want to invite our callers to join us here on Blog Talk Radio and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. So we hope that you do follow us there. The call-in number today, 914-380-164. Press 1, callers, if you'd like to speak with us. 408, I'm not sure if 408 would like to speak with us. 408, if you'd like to speak with us, press 1. But we're going to bring on caller from the 313 area code right now. And Sherelle, hi.
Yes, you already know I love you both. How are you?
Hi, Sherelle. We're doing all right.
Hi.
Thank you.
That's good.
How are you?
Y'all are so sweet.
Wait, say that all again. I cannot hear. There's extra noise in the background here. Say that again.
I said, I love you both. Y'all give good advice. I just love both of y'all together. Y'all meant to be.
Thank you. That is so sweet of you.
You're welcome. No problem. Where's your partner at? I don't hear him.
He's right here.
He just had to step across
the room for a moment. But he's back.
Okay. Hi, Neil.
Yeah,
hey, Kristen.
Hi. Thank you for the comment. Very appreciated.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's from my heart.
Well,
really,
thank you.
And we've been, you know, thinking about you too, because what has been going on in your life and what we talked about on the last show. So please bring us up to date.
Oh, well, no up to date, but I am still no new job. Still having car issues and trying to proceed on with this whole pregnancy thing.
That's what I was concerned about, because
my mind is still aiming on going forward with that. Yes.
Yeah. So have there been any doctor visits since we last spoke, or
you said any doubts?
Doctor. Have you seen a doctor again?
Clinic
since we last spoke?
Well, no, I've been calling around trying to get the best price on, you know, everything, and asking questions like the symptoms, would I be able to conceive another baby again, and, you know, asking questions and for my best interest. So I have been making phone calls today about 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay. So,
but yeah, now my main concern is that in my car. I've just been having a lot of car issues. I think I have to replace the motor.
You have to replace the motor. That's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. It really is.
11:30 is her birth date.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you asking, what are you asking about specifically today, Christine?
I mean, just whatever you pick up.
Well, I just want to ask how far along she is with your pregnancy.
Oh, 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like 2 months and a half.
Yeah, you want to get, if you're going to do it, I mean, earlier is better, I would say, probably.
It is, because they stop it at 24 weeks, but I'm not waiting that long, so.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do it as early as possible, because the,
yeah,
you know, the more the fetus develops, it's like you're more, you're getting more into,
yeah, you know, attached.
Yeah, and the life is growing, and so if you're terminating a pregnancy, it's better to do it as early as possible, because the, you know, the development hasn't proceeded to a point where you're feeling like, you know, there's a progression that you're, you know,
right. I think by next week probably gonna be the time. But go
and, but Neil was gonna say something. Go ahead.
Well, is it your intention to go through the abortion?
Yes. My mind is still aiming towards it. It's just, I mean, if it was a different guy and a better man and, you know, everything was planned out and we just had a, I ain't gonna say perfect relationship, but the best relationship, I don't think I would move forward with this decision. I think I would be more happy and, you know, everything could be planned out. But due to the guy, it's not gonna be.
Okay, well, we're in that element of your, you know, your personal choice, and so we, what we'll do is put out blessing that you're the, it's successful, it goes through. You know, I mean, these are harsh words, but when you say successful, but that your well-being is going to be established, that you move forward in life with, you know, a good sound basis of mind, body, and soul. And we'll just release the spirit of the fetus to the universe. But now the other thing, now you've got other things here to consider, the car.
Can I say one thing before you go on to the car? Because I, you know, Sherelle, there may be, I don't know what your financial situation is, but there may be some programs that are offered. And I think when you go to these pregnancy clinics that offer these services, that you can apply for state aid. And if you make under a certain amount of money, and I don't know what you make exactly, so I don't know if you'd qualify per se, but they may cover it totally. You may not have to pay a dime.
Yeah, they do. Oh, okay. See, I haven't thought of that, because they do say they offer financial support, because they be like, well, the cost is $500, but we do offer financial support. Like, if depending on how much you make in your household and all that, it drops it down like to $300 or something.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think in California, it's going to vary by state. I think in California, they actually, depending on your income, it can be completely covered. So it sounds like
we
it may
do,
be different in Michigan. But okay, so that's all. But
now,
car,
are you able, your vehicle, is your vehicle in a state to where you want to replace the engine, or do you just want to junk the car?
Well, I have a 2012 Dodge Avenger, and I believe my car is worth putting a new motor in it. Not because the auto body, I have a good, the out body is good. But I feel like me replacing the motor is a whole nother car itself.
Well,
low miles and.
Yeah, how many miles?
Go ahead.
Well, you'll have a
well,
new
right
engine.
Now. Yeah, how right many? Now is 150,000. That's pretty
so
high.
So you drive it a lot. Well, you know, you're probably, I would imagine.
No, I don't drive. No, I don't drive it a lot. I bought the car when it was 147 miles on it. I only had it at least probably a year.
Wait, you
I only
had
it for a year?
And what did you
spend? Yes, I bought it. I only spent like $1,200 for it, because I bought it from
a
car auction.
Car you spent $1,200, I don't know. How much do you have to spend for the new engine?
$2,000 to $4,000.
I would say three.
Yeah, probably like $2,000 altogether with the engine and labor.
Labor
as well.
I thought it would be anywhere from two to four.
Well, probably three
a
year.
If it's in good working order, you have a dependable mechanic, Sherelle. And then, you know, you figure you put in about $4,000 for this car. That's not bad, because to go and try to find another car and expenses.
Right.
And so I don't think it's a foolish decision. And
it's a nice car too.
So
yeah,
I think
it's a real nice
we'll
car.
Okay there.
Do you have the funds to do it? I mean, or you're gonna have to put on a card or what?
I have to save, because my job, I don't really make it. I ain't gonna say as much, but it's enough to pay my bills, you know, because I currently live by myself and I pay bills as well. But you just gotta have some saving to do.
Oh,
you know,
that's not a big
will
deal.
Be fixed.
No. Well, incorporate it into your card and pay.
Do you have a? You could get a no interest credit card if you have good credit, and you could actually do it now and get something with zero interest. Put it on the zero interest credit card, something like that.
Wow.
Have you ever thought of that?
Okay. No. I've not thought of that.
Do you have any credit cards? I mean, not that I'm saying go into debt. You want to make sure you pay off the balance before it goes into, you know, starts accruing interest, because after the term is over, it will start accruing. But
I have no credit card.
You could look into zero interest credit cards and see if you might be approved. And they will give you zero interest, some of them, on purchases and balance transfers. Mm-hmm. And then you can put the card or the charge on your card and pay it off in 12, 15 months or whatever it is. And then you have your car fixed. So that's that.
On another note, just say yes or no. Do you have a grandmother that crossed over?
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
You don't
know. Forgive me,
yes.
My brain can't remember.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yes, that's my mom's mother. Go ahead.
Now, did she ever give you anything that you would deem as worrying around your neck? Is there anything of a neck ornament? Or if not, do you have anything of some value, sentimental value, or maybe just monetary value? Because I'm seeing this gorgeous kind of necklace on you, and it's not like something small.
No, I have not. I don't have anything that she gave me. No, I don't.
Do you have necklaces?
I do, but it's nothing that she gave me. It's
Does your mother have
myself.
Anything?
Okay.
My mom has a necklace.
That she gave her?
What?
She got made or something.
Your mother has a necklace that the grandmother gave her.
Okay.
Yes.
Your mother
wears.
Has a necklace. And what kind of a necklace is it?
Oh, I believe it's, I think, a butterfly necklace, because my grandmother liked butterflies a lot. It's something like that.
Okay, well, what we've got is a subtle kind of corridor here where a voice that I believe is your grandmother's is trying to come through. Were you close to her?
Yes, we was very close. We had a very good relationship. She passed away of cancer.
Yeah. The first part of this is that she's trying to come through and say hello and sending love and all that. But I do believe she's trying to come through. It could just be the sort of astral excitement of saying hello to you. You know, when people cross over, they're in their soul, spirit, and if they can make a connection, that's very nice for them. So I think that's what's happening. Did her husband, your grandfather, I'm seeing him almost like there's something to do with transportation, like traveling on something. I can't figure it out. But how would your grandfather be connected to any form of transportation? I know that's vague, but let's just start there.
I'm not sure. I never met him. I don't think I was born during the time he was alive.
Like
so you don't have any access
maybe?
To him. It's almost like he's on a train.
When you said grandfather, that's what I saw.
Maybe your grandmother put him on a train. I don't know. But she seems to be saying is yes. You know, what I would interpret this is that your grandmother is in the astral realm, but not connected to your grandfather anymore. He's on a train. He took a train ride. But what she's saying is that she's going to do something very strange. She's going to do something very strange with flowers. Like, for instance, you go into your home and you see a flower and you go, well, I don't remember that being there. Or you're walking and from a bush a flower falls in your path. He seems to be attempting to try to stimulate something in the physical world that results in a flower being in your vision.
And 4008, okay. We're going to be getting to you in just a moment. Sherelle, I think that if you remember, I do, that she's communicated through flower imagery before on
did.
Air.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, yeah. I don't honestly remember.
No, he doesn't remember. It comes through fresh.
Sherelle, at my age, I can't keep all this in my head. I'm getting too old. So I don't remember.
Okay.
I wish I wouldn't keep it all in my head. I don't know why I do.
Kristen, she got a very good memory. She always remembers my birthday.
Who's Kristen? Kristen, who's
Kristen? If I'm pronouncing your name right?
No.
No. Yeah, you are. Yes, you're pronouncing.
Oh,
he's just acting like he doesn't know who I am.
Oh, okay.
He's making a joke about his memory.
Yeah.
Y'all are so sweet.
We're going to put out an energy for you that somehow maybe grandma can put out a blessing. Maybe there's going to be blessing for you in store. Keep us in touch. It might provide good news for you. Maybe you can share it with us next week or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to put that energy out.
I'll let y'all get to your other caller. I want to be considerate of the other callers.
Oh, that's sweet.
I really appreciate all the information y'all gave me. I really appreciate it. I love you both dearly.
Thank you so much,
you.
Sherelle, thank you. We
You're
really
welcome.
Okay.
No
Take
problem.
Care.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And Sherelle can join us on Facebook. She never has, so we hope she does. That would be great. She can follow our show.
You know,
we
one
have
of my
a show
favorite
page.
Groups when I was a kid was the Sherelle's.
Yeah, it's spelled differently, her name, but
I know,
Sherelle is with the A-I, phonetically, it's the same. What did they say?
They had like four or five great hits. And there was another group of women that sounded very much like them. I sometimes get their songs mixed up, but the Sherelle's were...
Not the Crystals.
No, the Sherelle's did, I don't know if they did My Boyfriend's Back, He's Going to Ruin My Reputation. There were some other songs. Soldier Boy. Was that the Sherelle's?
Mama Said, Baby It's You.
Yeah, Baby It's You.
Tonight's the Night.
Yeah, that was a great one. That was a great one.
Yeah, I like that song.
But and then I get them mixed up with
Soldier
the group
Boy, yes.
They did Soldier Boy?
Yeah.
So I'm right. Yeah, they were one of my favorite groups.
Okay.
And they were very popular. Anyway,
yeah, I like that genre of music. Okay, fun. All right, 408, is this Nidika?
It is.
Hi. Nids, though, right?
Nids, yes, I go by Nids.
Nids,
that's right.
That's what we should be calling you. Okay, she's 312-82. Hi, you've never called our show. But we
did
speak to you.
I just had it on.
Off the air a couple days ago. Well, we've actually spoken to you.
Cool.
Yes, a couple days. Yesterday I talked to you, but didn't then the day before we talked to you. So, hi.
268. Hi. So, I wanted to talk about this, that, I think I didn't really get much into my work side and career side. So, I wanted to really just talk about, I'm going to go, actually right now at 9:30, I'm going to go talk to my director. So I have a meeting with him. So I want you to just understand, something about my career that you guys see, because I feel like I'm also stuck here. I am not able to progress up. So no matter how much hard work I put in, how much things I do, somehow, and I remember that you're talking about that, my manager is also four. So, but
yeah,
the
four.
Like,
and we have his birth date. Hold on just a sec. He's 1/1/82, right?
Correct.
1/1/82. I have the notes right in front of me. Okay. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to know, how do I steer out in my career? Do you see anything changing in the next 6 to 8 months? Or, what advice you might have for my career side and my work side?
A question about the work environment. I mean, would you say that what's the percentage of men versus women in your field?
It's very low. Women are very low.
Yeah, I feel like I get the vibe that it's very male dominated.
Yes.
And so it's probably hard being in that environment as a woman.
It is, but then there isn't, I mean, I could still progress up, you know, and it's not manager, but I could move up in my own, what do you call, like an expert side. So.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as long as you're, if he can keep you contained, so to speak, then you're not going to get anywhere. But if you sort of challenge him, and say you may leave for better things, he may shift gears because in all actuality, he likes your work. You see, there's a difference. He likes your, if you were a man, it might be a different world. And that's disgusting that men think that way. I'm disgusted by that thought personally. But I think that he values you and he knows you're intelligent and he knows you're capable. I think in his brain set, because you're a woman, he already has it taped in his head that, well, you know, I'm going to keep you down. But if I don't want to use the word threaten him, but if you suggest to him, you know, I just may have to find somebody, he may say, go ahead. But he may say, because he values your work and he depends on you, he may say, well, tell me what it is you're looking for. What do you want? And he might start to make some adjustments, not maybe to your expectations, but it will reveal that he has an agenda that can be manipulated if you kind of challenge him with perhaps leaving, because that presents a big gap.
But I have a question.
If you leave, that presents a big gap.
I have a question about the timing of such a conversation. Should she do it immediately, do you think? Or should she wait, should she wait? Because
how
timing.
Long has she been working there? What,
she's three? Been there 5 years, right?
Yeah.
5 years.
Well, you've been there 5 years. I mean,
you're
entitled. What is it you're looking, what would you like? Is there any way you can express what you would like to say to him?
So I have been talking to, I mean, it's in the same, like the organization, but it's with a different team. And I wanted to go work in that team because they do a lot of like new developments, new creations, they experiment a lot and they do. So I like being in the creative end of it. So I was hoping that I could just like kind of start working there and move rather having to do, it's in the same, under the same organization, but different team. So I wanted to just strike that note with this director today. He's not the same as my manager. He's my manager's manager. So
that doesn't seem like a bad idea at all.
I think it's a great idea. You're in-house.
Okay.
You want to move to a more creative team. You've been there 5 years. You've demonstrated your value. And aside from them just being obnoxiously oppressive and abusive, there's no reason. I mean, yes, and so I would attempt it ASAP. Also, you see, we're in a zone, as we explained before, you're in a very interesting place in your life right now because we feel that there's several changes coming up in your 38th year. Now, that may be, you know, some months away, but it's within 9 months.
Right, which is why I was questioning the timing. However, moving to a different department is not a big deal.
That's
not a big deal.
So you're going through changes, and I think what you're doing is really in your mind, you're saying, deep in your mind, you're saying, I want to do things now that are going to make me feel good for the next decade or maybe within the next 5 years. I want to make sure I'm making the right decisions. I think you're at the doorway where those decisions can be made now. So what's going to happen is that whatever is going to be good for you will follow you. And whatever is going to be adversive to your well-being is going to drop off. Now, that may, some of the things that drop off may not, you know, you may have sentimental value for. We're talking about possible relationships. But right now, what you have to center on more than anything else is what is mm-hmm. going to be best for you. Without being selfish and oppressive to somebody else and ruining their lives or whatever, you have to think what's going to be best for you. So these are the things that I think are going to come in for you as you approach your 38th year. And as far okay. as some fogginess over this relationship that you were in that mm-hmm. that has all this trouble to it, yes. there's a possibility that can be resolved. You see, there's a possibility okay. you can resolve your issues with this person.
In terms of moving forward and having the finality of closure.
Of closure.
Which we talked about.
But what we don't yeah. wish upon you is that it becomes so toxic that it disturbs mm-hmm. your equilibrium.
And
we don't want that.
Perpetuates and, you know, you're back together and then broken up and you know, you keep the cycle going. Also,
right.
she had a question. I don't know if it's okay. We mentioned about the relationship with your ex and whether that can be better or not. I mean, I think.
Right.
Did that? I mean, I just mentioned it. I guess it's okay. Yes, absolutely. Improve your relationship with your ex-husband for the kids. Sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
To clarify, you have some good things coming. And okay. In our estimation, there around the age of 38, this mm-hmm. door suddenly changes. You're like going from a black and white world to a colorful world, like Alice in Wonderland or The Wizard of Oz. You're going into this grand energy field where there's spectacular mm-hmm. color and a sensation of music and things like this. Also, Kristen brought to my attention, I don't think you're going to lose your home. If that was a thought about your home.
Are you still in the same home that you were in when you were married? You're in the same home.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you should keep that home. That's your home. That's and some vibrational
and
feel.
There was a question of the funds that there's an issue where there's going to be a court case over funds, and that was mentioned in the reading, right? Whether your ex-husband is entitled to a certain amount of money that your parents gave, whatever. But we thought we thought she was going to prevail in that.
Yeah. What you have in your energy field is a complete realization of job, home, and relationship. The symbolism of 8 and 2 would be that the relationship 2 combines with the 8, which is a transcendent high power number.
Well, and then on an earth level involves money. I mean, it's not only, you know, a transcendent energy on an astral level.
So that would account for whatever comforts you have.
Monetarily
speaking, mm-hmm. and the energy, you see, and two, another reason why you perhaps seek psychic guidance is that the energy between 8 and 2 is a 6, which is the third eye.
Well, it's also in her karmic number. She has a 6.
Yeah, and she has it in her karmic number, and your master number is 8. So all of these elements are there for you, and our vision is that it's going to expand. But you see, due to we all bring in karma, we all bring in difficulties from past lives and things like this. What we don't want for you is that anything that becomes too toxic, we don't want that staying. So if we put out a general prayer that whatever is good for you remains and whatever is toxic is released, that generalizes what we feel is your positive approach for the future, which I think as you get closer and closer to the age of 38, and you know, it's not that far away.
No, my gosh, it's not even a year away.
No, it's what, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, 9 months away.
So
you're in a book, so.
Sorry. I'm going to have to drop because I have a meeting right now. I got to go meet my director, and I can probably connect back on Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead
that's
and
okay.
go. But thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
You're welcome.
I'll go and have a conversation.
Well, if you listen to
thank
the archive,
you.
I'm going to say something else. So listen back to the archive because I'm going to add something. Okay. So what I was going to say to Nidz is that, you know, we talk about this on the show a lot, but when you're, you know, everybody has a karmic number, and ideally people are going to complete their karma by that age, but a lot of times it doesn't happen. And obviously for her, she's 37 years old and she's still involved in a karmic drama that she's carried up to this point. But luckily for her, she's getting, you know,
Well, but you see, you got to remember there's an 11 in her year.
Right.
1982.
Yes.
And she's now 11 years past her karmic number.
Right. She is 11 years past her karmic number.
So that element is playing out even after her 26 years.
Right.
At this point.
Right. So what's happening now is that she's going to have the opportunity to move out of that karma at the age of 38, which is somewhat delayed from the age of 26.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, she's getting this information at an age where she's going to be able to, you know, move forward, hopefully on a transcendent level.
Well, what's intriguing about her numbers, too, is the 312 in her first three numbers is a six. And her last number is a two. That becomes her
karmic
number 26.
Yeah.
So sometimes we, in order to resolve our issues, we have to go forward in order to resolve our issues going backwards. Because sometimes we do reach our karmic age and we cross over from our karmic age, but we haven't completed all the karma. So it follows through in the forthcoming years, and then we have to kind of look back, in essence, and complete that journey, even though we're much older than, you know, we thought we were
going to be.
When it was going to be resolved. A lot of times we look back and we correct things. The advantage to that is you want to do it within your lifetime so that when you cross over, your soul hasn't collected
additional karma,
additional or undue business that hasn't been completed. You want to make sure everything's complete so that when your soul leaves your body, it doesn't carry a lot of earthly stuff. You're trying to get rid of that by the time you leave the planet. And
right,
you,
because as you move from lifetime to lifetime, you know, there's a specific amount of karma you're going to have in one lifetime. So you have to complete certain things in that lifetime. And if you don't complete those things, and then if you add more karma to those things that you don't complete, then you end up with compounded energy in the successive lifetimes, and it becomes more convoluted. So
I like, you know, people say lift off. I say lift up and lift off. Because you can lift off and collapse right back like a rocket and collapse right back down to the earth again. It's just not a lift off. You want to lift up, meaning that when your soul leaves your body for the last time, for the very last time, you want it to go upward and then off into the astral realm. You don't want to be like a rocket that falls back down to the earth and crashes with more karma and another lifetime of karma to contend with. So you have to think, you always have to plan ahead, because nobody knows specifically when any person is going to go unless it's divine to them. So you have to think, am I doing everything I can so that when I'm taken, when my soul leaves my body for the last time, that I've done everything I needed to do. Some things can be left undone. They don't merit a return to the earth to get to finish them. But obviously there are important things, very important things that have to be done before you can actually say lift up and lift off. And that can be a very exciting journey, because the soul can experience emotions that are incredible, incredible elation and thrill. That, my God, we're off the planet, we're into the astral realm, we're going forward. And instead of saying, oh boy, I got to go back to the planet, I got to go through a birth, I got to go through school again, I got to go through parent, you know, all of that. Some people may wish it. I'm not one of them. But some people may wish it, that coming back to the earth. I think there's beautiful things down here, but the element of transcending into the astral realm is
far outweighs.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's duality in the astral realm, but when we're talking about being lifted up into the highest parts of the astral realm, it's, you know, you have more of a singularity rather than the duality that you have in the lower realm, astral realm, and on the earth. And so, you know, the earth is.
That's why, too, you know, there's a way to stay attached to the earth and still transcend, because if you give back to the earth before you know, you're leaving survivors down here. So if you help children, if you help human beings, if you help animals, if you help the climate, whatever you can do to help, what's going to be left behind is of great value. So you have to kind of think of that beyond your own egocentric life. You have to think, what am I doing to help those that are still going to be on the planet, whether they're human or animal, reptile, fish, it doesn't matter. That's why we see so many human beings doing so much. There's an awareness in their mind that there's an immediate need to help those living things that are in need of help. But there's also something embedded in the brain that says, this has to be done. It's part of the journey and it's part of the release. So, you know, it's a value just in terms of one's own egocentric life, making oneself happy and content within oneself, just opposed to the position of also at the same time being a blessing to others and helping them.
Well, then you have to get into the idea of helping others, or, you know, giving back to the planet. Then beyond that, establishing a spiritual essence.
Yeah.
So you can be a great humanitarian, help the planet, but it doesn't mean, unfortunately, that you're going to be able to transcend, because really the ultimate is to establish that.
Yeah, the spiritual. The respect one has towards God, the Creator, whatever word you use in your preference of theme or theory or belief, that energy field you'll be encountering. And if there isn't a grand stand spectacle of respect and adherence and communication, one's going to feel very naked. One's going to feel very embarrassed, because once it's in front of your face, it's going to be hard to deny what your connection was to that maker, to that creator, to that particular capital G-O-D, in terms of your relationship with the master of all things. Or masteress, or whatever you want to
mistress.
Call it.
Mistress. Masteress.
Mistress.
Okay.
Like your hands over the waters. But very, very, very important.
So, you know, I want to get back to NIDS for a minute, because she was asking a question in an email, and I just maybe wanted to address that, since she's probably going to be listening to the archives. So there was a question about her personal situation, where her family, there was something that you said in the reading about, for better or for worse, you know, this is what your family is. And she was concerned, you know, about the connective tissue in the family versus the situation with this second individual who she was involved with, a romantic connection. And so, and what would happen with that romantic connection in terms of a psychic vision. So with this family, her husband and her children, the difference between the karma with the family and children and the difference with the karma and with the individual that she has with the second relationship. So, sometimes we meet people on the planet where there's more free will in terms of what's going to occur versus where there's a fixed destiny with what's going to occur with different people. So like in terms of her husband and her children, she came down and that was probably fixed, that she would meet her husband, get married, and have these kids. With this other individual, what the path would be, it was more of a free will situation based on the two of them interacting.
You know, you can use all kinds of metaphors. You know, in school we have required subjects and then we have elective subjects. We have karmic situations that we have no choice over, and then we have elective creative energies where transcendent, we're in one's transcendent division of life, we get to have a certain freedom. And so, you know, I kind of think of it as the classroom and the playground. When you don't have as much karmic connection with an individual,
but there is karma. There is karma.
Well, it's a different theme of karma.
Right. It's different.
It's a creative freedom of karma. It's a transcendent energy of karma.
And the difference is, the difference is with these two people specifically. She met him after her. After the age of 26, so quite a few years after. So she was already in her transcendent phase.
Yeah, except sometimes we can be in a transcendent
phase and meet
still
karmic,
be stuck in
karma
at the same time.
Well, which she kind of is too, but anyway, that's another.
Most of us do qualify for that kind of experience, that we may be in a trap. We may be in our higher transcendent phase, but we're still dealing
with
karmic
issues.
Elements that go on, and obviously she is, and a lot of us are.
But in terms of her specific situation with the husband and children versus this relationship, what she was asking is, what's the difference in the content, and is there a sheer prediction of what's going to happen with this second romantic character? And the answer is no, there's not a sheer prediction because of the free will factor. Whereas if she would have talked to us 15 years ago or 20 years ago, there probably would have been a sheer prediction about the fact that she was going to have two children with this husband.
Yeah, there is a bizarre chapter in the book of existence, I feel, that where you can have destiny and transcendence. In other words, you're in this freedom of expression with the world, and yet something is locked in terms of destiny in that realm, which would seemingly equate to karma, because you have no choice. It's destiny. So destiny can enter into a person's life at any given moment and still be considered transcendent at the same time.
Right. Well, and a meeting can be destiny, but what occurs from that point on may be free choice.
It may be. It may be free choice. Or
it may be destiny, but it depends on each individual situation.
Sure. But the sheer complexity of that free choice can embody a certain fixed conclusion. There can be a fixed conclusion. So in analysis, we have to determine that there is no straight path to any theory of existence. It's not, I mean, we are born and we die. That's the straight path. What we do within the content of that is what's considered to be an admixture of karma, things fixed, things creative, things of our own making. It is what we make of life is what we can take pride in. Because if everything was fixed, we're just puppets and we're just manipulated by a higher hand. But if we have the ability, and I do believe we have free will, even since the first metaphorical Garden of Eden, we have this ability to make choices. Choices can have consequences. But what we make of those consequences then becomes part of the nature of our legacy. And if we take something, I like to always think of psychic energy as you look at something negative, turn it into something positive. So that's the challenge. How much positivity do you bring into the world? Let's face it, the world is filled with negativity. We're not entering an ideal planet. So as we as individuals have to look at the globe and the world and the situations and choose what door we want to go through to try to make an improvement. Some of us choose a personal path, and we just try to make our lives significant, and it's based upon our own creativity.
Right.
Others sacrifice that for the sake of others and join volunteer groups and do things like that. It's all
Sometimes, and sometimes there's the marriage of both.
It can be the marriage of both. Yes. Well, you know, there are many artists who give back to the planet millions of dollars. And
or the, you know, service.
Service, you know.
Their time.
Even egotistical actors.
That, egotistical
you know, you think,
actors.
You know, but I'm serious. A lot of these actors give so much back and with so much cause for the climate and, you know who these people are if you're informed, but people who have great wealth and power and they still give back and have become spokespersons for the world, the planet, the well-being. All of these things are very important, no matter what the cause may be. And then there are those who are meek, who really don't, their face isn't known, and they do as much as they can. So there's little subtle acts. You know, it's, the metaphor goes to the when Christ was looking at the rich person giving millions of dollars to the church, and then a woman came and gave like what, 3 pennies or 4 pennies, and the apostle said, "Well, boy, he gave so much, and look, she only gave." And then he says, "Well, she gave everything she had, but she's not a face. She's not an important person. She was just a meek person." So those people, when I look at people, even people on the streets who are begging, and like all of us, we walk by them, we don't give anything, and they go, "God bless." You know, they may not, that maybe in sincerity, they needed money for bread. Maybe they did. But yet, in being turned away, so to speak, or rejected, they still put that energy out. And some of these people still help old ladies, you know, go into the post office. They open up the door for them. They do their own. And even under the circumstances that their lives are miserable in some regards.
I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, Neil. I opened the chat room. What happened? There's someone in the chat room right now who, we don't give chat room readings. We don't actually have a chat room normally.
Yeah.
So something got opened inadvertently. So if you would like a reading, this person, Lil Fairy, it's very cute. You may have a reading, but you have to call 914-338-0164. I'll just do a message.
Lil Fairy, what's that?
Yeah, it's her chat room. You know, it's her handle.
By Lil Fairy.
Lil Fairy. We don't have a chat room normally. I don't know what happened. I don't know how a chat room was opened. Yeah, we don't. Unfortunately, we don't do. She says she can't call in, so we don't do readings by text. And I don't know. She's not from the U.S. Can you use Skype? It's okay. She says it's okay.
Okay.
I don't
know.
How
much time do we have?
We have about 9 minutes. I mean, she says she's not from the U.S. I mean, she can give us her birth date if she has a question.
If she has a question, she can text in a question. No, we don't do the chat room. It's distracting.
We don't do a chat room, and I don't know how I opened it. So I'm saying she can text in her question if she has a birth date.
You mean there's a way to open up a chat?
There is, apparently, and I must have clicked something inadvertently. I looked and I saw this, this log.
Yeah.
So she's, I don't know if she's still here. So just, you can keep talking.
Well, so where were we? What were we?
We were talking about
giving back to the planet,
homeless people,
and what that means,
things like that,
in terms of the awareness that this is a globular
right.
society.
Globular, global,
yeah.
Global, globular. Okay, she here she is, 8883. She's asking if,
what's her name?
She's Lil Fairy. And she's
Lil
Fairy, Fairy, and she's asking if she sees love in life. She's been single for years, so she's 8883.
1983.
37101. Gosh, Well, so we can ask her.
If she wants to know if there's love coming in her life.
Love coming in her life. So just real quick, because I still have her in chat.
She's 35 years old.
35 years old. Is that right?
Am I right?
I don't. 30. She's going to be 36.
Yeah, she's 35.
She's a year away from a big change. She would love to meet someone for a long-term relationship. So when was the last? She's Sandaya. Her name is Sandaya. Am I saying that right? S-A-N-D-Y.
S-A-N-D-H-Y-A.
S-A-N-D-Y.
D-H-Y-A.
D-H-Y-A. Yeah. When was the last relationship that you had, Sandaya? She's a year away from a big change in life. And where are you calling from? India? Indian? Waiting for her to respond.
Well, in the meantime, you're going to have three major relationships. I don't mean minor, major.
Gosh.
So there's three major relationships in store for you.
Mauritius. She's from Mauritius.
She's from where?
Mauritius. Isn't that an island? Mauritius. Three major relationships. Wow. Three major relationships at this point?
I think she's entering her second.
You mean now?
Yeah. She's somehow involved in the second major relationship of her life. We don't have her to talk to. If this makes any sense to you, you're on your second major relationship, or you're about to enter it.
Is that accurate? She hasn't. Yeah, but what's your relationship history? She said, I'm single and I haven't met anyone lately. But we need to talk about your whole relationship history.
Yeah. How many major relationships have you gone through so far? Major.
Gosh, what a beautiful place to live.
What island is it?
It's in the Indian Ocean. Major none, she says.
Major none. Well, then the first major relationship would be with parents. That would be the first one. Or that would involve siblings or whatever. So you're about to enter a major relationship.
Maybe
that
by
could
the,
come between August of this year
and August of next
of
year.
The following year. In that year, you're going to be entering a what we would call a major relationship. That would be loving relationship, a physical relationship, and that's where we think you are going. If you have any challenges in life, like, you know, you're a weight problem or something, or maybe a social problem, like you're shy or withdrawn, if you have anything like that, that will be wiped away. That's not going to be blocking you. So if you have any certain psychological challenges or emotional challenges or body challenges, social challenges, if that's been your experience and you're somewhat feel isolated and alone in some respects, that's going to change. You're going to find it's the whole world is going to warm up. And if you can validate, if there's some way to validate.
She said, I'm living in a bad job this Monday. I was a little shy in the past.
Okay.
So she must, maybe she means she's not in a good job, period.
Yeah, she's entering or doing something, a bad job, and she's been shy. So that's going to change. That part is going to change. And you're going to meet somebody who I think is going to become very attracted to you. And it will be likewise. So there's something in that regard. I see, you know, it looks almost
She's changing jobs this July. What kind of work do you do?
Okay, so...
She's always felt very alone.
Yeah.
Well, it means your master number is one, which can be, I mean...
Yeah, that will change.
She's a developer in IT.
What's
Internet
IT?
Technology.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's going... You see, you're going to be in a relationship, I think. I think you're going to be in a relationship. Do you have any siblings? Do you have any brothers or sisters?
We're about a minute left in the show, so we're going to have to close. But I'm happy to learn things are going to change. Any sisters or brothers that you can validate quickly before we close? One brother.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with the brothers? Is it distant?
Well,
anyway, the thing is, if she, Sandhya, I don't know if I'm saying that way, but they're friendly. He's kind. So that's good. At least she, well, she's saying she feels very alone, but she has a brother that she's close to that they're, well, at least she's friendly with. I don't know if they're close, but anyway, so she has at least that connection.
Well, that's of any hope to you. You know, we feel you're going to be in a relationship and things are going to start to improve, especially as you reach this August.
Yeah, and if you're able ever to call in using Skype, that might be a way for us to have a better conversation. Normally, we don't open the chat room, and it was just an accident that happened today. But we're glad we were able to reach you, and we are out of time. So we're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and listeners. Bye-bye.